Morning, church. How are you this morning? Good, good. Praise God. Good to be here again in the house of the Lord. As Jim indicated this past week, VBS was awesome. I've been here 10 years, and I dare say the best one ever in terms of input, in terms of excitement, in terms of attendance. And as Jim said, seeing the efforts people made and such, and it was just wonderful. Great to be part of that, and I just pray that God can view it as just an example of us trying our best to do His will, trying our best to reach out to the community, trying our best to glorify Him, because all I really want to do is please the Lord, and I pray that we as a church can also have that goal in mind. So thank you everybody who put all that effort and time into VBS. I just taught at night, but I simply sat back and watched everything. It was great to see everything take place. So thank you for that, and let us continue to glorify God this week and this month and the rest of this year with the same kind of courage and boldness, and we will see God work. Well, today I want to talk about being frightened yet filled with great joy. Frightened yet filled with great joy, a very strange combination of emotions and feelings. I'm not too sure if I've ever felt that before. Frightened, and yet having great joy at the same time. I doubt many of us here have had that feeling, yet today I want to prove that I think we should get used to that feeling, that we should probably have that feeling and look forward to that feeling one day. But the basis of this story is found in a very sad part of the Bible. Christ had died, and until He rose again, all He did was die. And although He died for a good cause, again, as Jim said, Jim, wonderful job in the Lord's Supper. As he said, this was planned far beforehand. Although Christ knew this was going to take place, it was still a very, very sad day. He was dead. The sins, our sins, the sins of the past, the sins of His present were put all upon Him, and He paid the price. It was quiet. It was dark. All the disciples were confused. They were saddened. It seemed as if the bad guys had won. And during this time period, we have the story right here, this very difficult time period. We begin the story of Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. Please turn with me to Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. Today I'll be preaching from the NLT version. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. So early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. This other Mary was the mother of James, the lesser, if you will, one of the 12 disciples. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he was risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Again, frightened, yet filled with great joy. What a combination of feelings, perhaps a very unique feeling for a unique time, because never before have we seen anything like this. God sending His Son in the form of man, God Himself in the flesh, dying on the cross for our sins. The only reason for doing so, love. The only logical reason for doing so, love. And then disappearing from that grave, having risen again. Why were they frightened? Let's break this down. Why were they frightened? Well, I think we see the raw power of God here. God in this raw power is going to be scary no matter what. We see an earthquake took place. I don't know how big the earthquake was. At the same time, an angel there as well. And then the raw power of God knocking out these guards, yet not knocking out the two Marys. So clearly, the power of God was focused. It was purposeful. It had a direction to it. It wasn't random. Just seeing that had to be very, very scary indeed for the two Marys. But also, they are also aware that death is present. Death was there. This was a place where Christ had died. This was supposed to be a quiet outing to visit the tomb, to anoint his body with herbs and spices. And yet, something different took place here, because here's why they were filled with great joy. Because although that they saw God's raw power truly there, the lightning appearance of the angels, the guards dying, passing out, the earthquake, they recognized that raw power, that raw wrath, if you will, was not in their direction. They were happy to see that raw power of God, but they were safe from that power of God. Also, although death was there, death was present, they were happy because death was conquered by life. The very reason why Christ came to earth, the very reason why we should have joy today, took place right here. Life had conquered over death. And we too had the same promise that if we follow Christ, we can also have that victory over death. So yes, we too may see the raw power of God, recognize how powerful God is. The Bible says that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, indeed. But I do pray that as we stay in the Lord and grow in the Lord, we recognize that power, that raw power, is not going to be for our harm. And also, we know for a fact that when we die, as Christ rose again, we too will rise again and live forever with him. Frightened, yet filled with great joy. I would say that today we have many reasons to be frightened. We have so many reasons to be frightened today. Is there room for joy in all the things that we're afraid of today? Let's break down some of these top 10 fears, if you will. How many do I have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9 fears that I hear people talking about today and losing their minds about today. Number one fear, finance, right? Finance is a huge fear. We live in the most expensive area in the country. This place is squeezing people out of the area. It's very difficult. It's very easy to be afraid of money and what it might entail. No matter who we are, no matter how much we have in this area, money is a scary prospect. Money is a scary discussion. And again, Jim, sorry I bring you up again, but again, he mentioned how a lady had nothing yet gave from her poverty. She had the courage. Think about what she did for a second there. She had the courage to give her last 2 coins, not knowing how she'd make it throughout the week. And yet she gave it. I imagine she was very scared. I imagine the fright of giving her very last bit, and yet she gave it because she recognized the power of God. I know for a fact that lady had great joy in the future, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to scare everybody first. Okay, so we have fear of money. We're scared about these things, aren't we? And we do all kinds of things to avoid that fear of finance. Number 2, politics. I became aware of politics in 1996, okay? I became aware of things then. And I think people are just as freaky now as then, but I think now we have more knowledge of politics. We have social media. The internet and social media has made us all more aware of things, thereby making everything seem to be a lot more difficult than it truly is. Regardless, it's a very scary time, isn't it? I don't care what point of view we come from, it's scary. And who knows what's going to happen? We're afraid about the elections and Congress and House of Representatives. We're scared. We're scared of what's going to happen in the future. Natural disasters is a very scary thing. The 2 biggest earthquakes in California since 1989 took place a few weeks ago. I recall when I first came to this state, understand, I'm from New York. We have vast snowstorms. That's about it, okay? When I came here, I told myself I love California, but I never want to live in California because of the earthquake. I don't want to die in an earthquake. No way. I came out here, and every single day of my life when I was here for the first 5, 6 years, I prayed, Lord, while I'm here, let there be no earthquake while I'm here. I prayed about it, all right? But I noticed in the past 3 or 4 years, I stopped praying about that for some reason. I don't know why. I'm still afraid of earthquakes, but we've been through a few of them, and it's like, it's an earthquake. It's no biggie. But this past few weeks, I've been reminded about how powerful they can be. And again, I said to myself, Lord, I hope you don't bring a 7.2 over here in San Jose. Let us stay in the South, Lord. We're scared. We're scared of those things. I'm scared of natural disasters and running out of water and monsoons and such. Global warming, I'm scared. Health concerns is a very scary thing, right? Right? Cancer is just we all suffer somehow from cancer. Whether ourselves personally or someone we know close, it's just a horrible thing everywhere. Are we going to get it? If I do get it, will I get it in time? If I do get it, how much pain will I go through? I mean, there's so many things that we're afraid of regarding cancer and other health concerns. And should I work out more? Should I work out less? What if I pull a muscle? What's going on? Gyms are nasty. What do I do about health? Health is also a very scary discussion and a very scary prospect. Relationships. Whether we are in one or not in one, scary things, okay? Being in one. Anybody who's in a relationship knows a good one is hard to maintain. And it's scary. It's difficult. It's easy to run away from the difficulties of a relationship. They can be scary to face. Being a man or being a woman in a relationship is very, very scary to do what we have to do to make it work out well. Or not having one and waiting to get one. Am I going to have one? Will it come along? Or will I not get one? Lord, am I going to wait forever? I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of what this means. There are a lot of fears involving relationships and not having relationships. Age is a fear. I'm getting older and older and older. What does that mean? As I said before, what I thought was old when I was younger is now my age, okay? Oh, you're an old person, I would say, when I was younger, but they were 41 years old when I said that. I'm 41 years old now. Am I an old person? Am I going to get older and older and older? What does that mean to get older and older and older? I see people who are older, and some people I say to myself, I don't know if I want to get older per se. Is that going to happen to me? I don't know. Do I have fear of getting older? Do we have fears of that when it comes to age? And then, seemingly the reward of old age, death afterwards. That's also very, very scary. The unknown. I mean, I preach the gospel. I say what's going to happen after we die, but I still don't want to go. I don't want to go through it. That threshold between life and death, when I go into the hands of God, that's scary. I don't know. What's it going to be like? How's it going to look? Is there pain? Will my death be painful? Do I have to go through it? Finally, the fear of God himself. God. We almost face God one day. What would that day be like? Because when I face all of you, I give you what I want you to see of me. Sure, I confess my sins to you, but God knows everything. Okay? When I face God, he's going to know everything about me. Every shameful deed that I've ever done. Every shameful thought. One day, I must face God. And we have to have a talk. How will that talk go? How will it go with me between God and myself when there is nothing else besides myself and God on that day of judgment? And there are more fears. There are all kinds of fear of heights. Fear of talking in front of people, all kinds of issues that we deal with. But these are very, very basic ones that we are frightened about, that we are afraid of. In the Lord, is there room for joy in any of these fears? Well, I have found that if I don't apply Christ to these fears, all these things remain fears. If I don't apply Christ to these fears, nothing changes, nothing happens. I may talk myself out of certain fears without Christ. I may trick my own mind about some of these fears. But at the end of the day, the fears always come back. There's a time period in which I was afraid of, I was scared of so many things. And I was so afraid of nighttime. Everything for me was daytime. Whenever the sun went down, all kind of fears came out of my life. Because my fears were not being taken care of by God. They were being taken care of by sunlight, people, talking. I wonder how many of us are dealing with our fears in the right way. Or tricking ourselves into it. One way of handling fears that I've done in my life, and I see people handling their fears, there's an expression, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Robbing Peter to pay Paul It means, as we say it, it means that basically to take care of something else, we make something else worse. Hence, we look at what's being taken care of and think we're improving, not looking at what is not improving, but we have to get there eventually. So at the end of the day, we're not improving. That expression, Robin Peter to pay Paul, was back in the day where they had when churches taxed people. There's a Peter tax and a Paul tax, okay? And a tax for England and a tax for Middle Europe, and that's where it came from. But it means right now that we are taking care of one problem while having another one. And I find that if we don't take care of our fears through Christ, we end up taking care of our fears in that same way. For example, there are people who are so afraid of growing older. They're so afraid of getting older and having that age, they spend all kinds of money to quote-unquote stay young, whatever that might mean. And so in the process of faking themselves out of getting older and older, they're going broke, financial ruin, not taking care of their families, not taking care of their spouses, because they're so afraid, okay, of getting older that they are making more fears financially. Therefore, they solve no problems whatsoever. They may have, quote-unquote, solved their age problem of buying a nice car and changing their hair color and buying lotions and such. But at the end of the day, they still have problems financially. That fear is still there. They have robbed Peter to pay Paul. Or politics is the one I see all the time, boy. Oh, all the time. There are people who are so caught up and wound up over politics, losing their health. I see that happen way too often now. People who are stressed out, people who are losing their health because they're so wrapped up in the politics. So they know everything that's going on. They got it all covered on either side of the aisle. They got it all covered, but their health is suffering. Therefore, political issues are solved. Health issues are there again. It goes over and over again. Over and over again, people are robbing Peter to pay Paul with their fears rather than taking care of their fears. The Bible talks about this. The Bible says, what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? One could say that's robbing Peter and paying Paul. Mark 8:36. Mark 8:36 is that. What are we doing in our lives so that we are taking care of something but losing our soul in the process? Because if we don't take care of our fears, then the devil wins. Mark 8:36. The fears that we don't conquer, the fears that will conquer our souls, guys. If we don't conquer our fears, those fears will conquer us. And so Mark 8:36 talks about people. This is in the middle of a whole variety of verses. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? If you figure out everything in the world, taking care of these worldly issues, yet you lose your soul. Verse 37, is anything worth more than your soul? The answer is no. Nothing is worth more than our soul. Nothing is worth more than our eternity. So we have to conquer our fears in a better way. It can't be through worldly issues. It can't be through mind tricks. It can't be through Peter and Paul robbing each other. It's got to be through Christ. So let's go through these fears once again and see how we can handle these fears with great joy. The great joy of knowing that Christ is there to take care of our deepest fears if we do his will. I began with finance, but I'll link it to relationships. Finance and relationships. We think we don't have right now what we think we should have, and the fears of not having it in these areas and regards. Finance and relationships. How do we handle those fears? The Bible's got it covered. Matthew 6:31-33. Matthew 6:31-33. Here's what we do. It's an action, not a mind trick. It's an action. Well, it begins with Christ saying, don't worry about your life. Okay. Then he goes, verse 31, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? He says, these things dominate the mind, the thoughts of unbelievers. These things are what fears are made of. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. What we need, God will have covered. How will God cover these things? Verse 33 is the answer. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Problem solved. Of course, it requires an action. The action is seek God first. get involved with things, get involved with ministries, get involved with church, help people out, read the Bible, pray, do those things first, and all these things we're taking care of. Verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Follow God, do what he says, and he will take care of the rest. So that fear that we have, taken care of by God. How about politics? How do we fit God into politics today? How do we figure this out? Can I possibly have peace and joy today with all the fears I have with politics? Please remember God's in control of these things. Please remember God is in control of all authorities on the earth. That's our concern, the authorities above us. Daniel 2, 20 and 21. Please remember. Daniel chapter 2, 20 and 21. A long time, because in the book of Daniel, it's about empires rising and falling, kings coming and going, authorities here and there. And God tells Daniel, let me assure you the situation. Daniel 2, 20 and 21 says this. He said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. Remember this, guys. He controls the course of world events. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. God's in full control. It might not feel like it. It might not seem like it. But please understand, God is in full control. It's all going according to his plan. Nothing will happen in this world, in America, that God is not fully aware of and will take care of. Please remember that. Be assured as you go into this next political season that God is in full control. Natural disasters, earthquakes and such, monsoons, hurricanes, floods, global warming. God, are you in control of these things? Or are you out of control of these things? Do I have to worry about the things in my own life? Let me share with you a story. Matthew 8, beginning in verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. Then Jesus got into the boat and started to cross the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a furious storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. I love that verse. What's happening here is horrible. He's out. He's not worried. He's in control. The disciples went and woke him up. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man, they said. Even the winds and waves obey him. Everything obeys the Lord. There is nothing that happens in nature that God is out of control of. Can we do things wrong? Yes, we can. But to suggest the idea that we as humans can do something that God has no power of, that's out of God's control, is ridiculous. God is in full control. There are so many verses. Read the book of Job, if you will, to show how much power God has over the earth and nature. He has full power over all these things. Don't worry about a thing. Perhaps as I've grown the faith, that's why I've prayed less about earthquakes. God's in control. He'll take care of it, no matter what. Why worry about a single thing? Why fear a single thing? Our health and our age. How long will I live? Will my lifestyle be good? What's going to happen to me? Remember, Psalm 139:16. Please remember this. It says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God knows these things exactly, what's going to happen to us. If there is a way to shorten our life, or lengthen our life, the Bible also says that, by the way, and it goes the same way as the first issue, how much are we serving God? Proverbs 9, verse 11, for example. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11 says, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. It's the truth. How about Proverbs 10, 27. Proverbs 10, 27, here's the real way to live longer. All of our health things, guys, I am, look who I married, first of all, and my own lifestyle, very, very healthy people, we think. However, the Bible gives the real answer for long life. Proverbs 10, 27 says this, fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. But the years of the wicked are cut short. Okay? So please understand, God's already given us the main tip as to how we can live longer or live shorter. And it comes down to, are we serving God? Are we obeying Him? Are we wise in His sight? Death, the great fear. Death, the great unknown. How do we deal with that? What's going to happen in my future? What will happen in that mighty threshold to the beyond? Please read with me, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. I love these verses. Again, these verses apply to us if we are in the Lord. Paul says, let me reveal to you a secret, a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will be transformed. It will be happened in a moment, in a blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. That last trumpet is the last moment when Christ comes back. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God. Thank God, because He gives victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even death is something that we should not be afraid of. And I'm so happy to say, I look towards death now, and I'm a bit anxious right now about it. But I know people who looked and appeared to be on the brink of death, who are in the Lord, who are not afraid. They say, I'm looking forward to it. Please take me. I want to see the Lord. That gives me courage, gives me joy to know that as you grow in the faith, our fear of death can get less and less and less, to the point where we say, Lord, take me. I'm ready to go whenever you want me to go. God, the fear of God. Is God scary in our lives? Is God a scary entity? Do we fear facing God in that one day? Is God scary to us right now? I pray that God is not scary to us right now as we speak, because we should only be scared if we're sinning. If we're not sinning, if we're living for God, don't be afraid of a single thing. Nothing at all. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love cast out all fear. Such love that God has gets rid of all fears. Because if we're afraid, it's because of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Okay? Again, fear might have been the reason why we began following God. But it should not remain that way. It should be love, expectation, looking forward to seeing Him. I pray God is a concept and an idea that does not cause anxiety, but causes comfort and peace and hope that we can look forward to. Looking throughout the Bible, I wonder who else in the Bible had that feeling of being frightened, yet filled with great joy at the same time. Maybe Adam and Eve, when they first became aware of life, afraid of what's going on, but also happy to be there. Maybe I imagine Rebecca, when she first saw Isaac meditating in the fields. Maybe, surely Joseph, when he saw his brothers again after so many years, he was scared, I'm sure, but also happy to see his brothers. Jonah, surely he was frightened, but happy when that big fish spit him out. Perhaps none of us have felt quite like that today. But I assure you, every single one of us will feel it one day. On that day of judgment, I imagine when we face God that day, I think we'll be frightened. I think there's no way to avoid just the new feeling of seeing God in heaven, the pearly gates, whatever the case may be. I'm sure we may all be scared at that moment, but I pray we were also very, very happy on that day, having accomplished the battle of life, so that we know and look forward to God saying, these words I want to hear, I want to hear them exactly like this. My good and faithful servant, now for you is life eternal in heaven forever and ever. I want to hear that, and I'm sure my heart will explode in joy, despite the fact I'll be very, very scared of being with God, angels, and going to heaven. All of us deserve to feel on earth frightened, perhaps, but also have great joy to overcome that. And all of us, I pray, look forward to one day having that, being frightened, but having great joy knowing that God would take care of us. If we are not in the faith, you only have one feeling, frightened. Is that what God wants? If we are living every day frightened of something, running away with fears of something, I ask you, are we fully in Christ's love? Have we fully adopted Christ's love into our lives? If we are Christians today, there's no need for you to be frightened this day of anything if we are Christians. If we are not Christians today, I can show you a way to get to that spot of being unafraid of everything. The Bible is clear. It begins with our baptism, our salvation in the name of Jesus. The Bible says if we believe in him and are baptized in the name of Jesus, repenting of our sins, we will be saved. Safe from everything, including our deepest fears. Church, I pray we are people today who are full of peace and joy and confidence in the Lord as we stand and sing.